Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and I want to thank you for tuning into the show today. We have a very interesting interview planned as I've brought online co-authors Robert Davis and Dr. Roxanne Davidson to talk about the compelling and rarely discussed issue of bad cops and police corruption, which is the topic of their new book titled Legal Minds, Detecting Rogue Police Officers and Other Important Law Enforcement Issues. So, you know, I had the opportunity to interview Robert Davis last year when he released his very fascinating memoir, Cop Out, and I'm just so happy to have him here on the phone today to find out about his continued efforts in this whole issue of exposing police corruption. So a little bit about Robert Davis. He is a former award-winning police officer with the New Orleans Police Department. He studied criminal law at Loyola University and is an avid outdoorsman and enjoys the rare sport of spelunking. Robert has appeared on many television shows warning the public about how to detect rogue police officers and what one's defenses are against such officers. Dr. Roxanne Davidson is an associate professor of behavioral studies at Southern University and A&M College in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She is a licensed professional counselor and a national certified counselor. Her areas of interest include social and cultural issues, marriage and family therapy, and clinical field work. So I'd like to welcome both of you on Inside Scoop Live today, and just thanks so much for talking with us.
How you doing, Juanita?
Hi, Robert.
Okay.
Hello, Juanita. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Davidson. So I would like to find out how this collaboration actually came about, Robert.
Well, as you introduced me there as an author of a previously written book called Cop Out.
Mm-hmm.
About this time last year it was released. My life in Cop Out, it's a memoir, a personal memoir about my tour as a police officer, and towards the end of that tour, I became a rogue or a bad cop, and I wrote about it. It was part of a therapy type of a thing for me, and that it helped me be able to cope with it once I returned and dealt with that situation. And as that year rolled by, I began to think, you know, how could I contribute, you know, to society based upon my unique experiences?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that Legal Minds was a natural progression towards Cop Out, and that many people, many supporters of Cop Out in my life had emailed me, telephoned me, write a letter, and would begin to ask me little questions such as, you know, if I'm stopped by a cop in this scenario, what should I do, and can you explain in more detail what this law means?
Mm-hmm.
This cop stopped me and he said this, and I didn't quite understand it. And I noticed that a lot of the questions were repeated. And I began to think that, you know, a lot of people out here, a lot of the common citizens, especially the elderly, they just don't know what to do when they're stopped by a cop.
That's true.
They don't know what to do if a cop violates them or so forth. They,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess being a former cop, they had a lot of respect for my opinion on the matter. And so I decided to write a book about the, and I knew because, I mean, I was, as I said, and I readily admit, I was once a rogue cop about almost 30 years ago. And I feel that there was a lot of practices, unfair practices that rogue cops tend to habitually do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to put this in a book form as to how to detect and spot the signs of bad cops.
Yes.
And before writing the book, I thought about the behavior aspects of it. You know, why would I begin to look at myself? Why did I do what I done? And why is it that many bad cops will originally choose a profession that elicits honor and all of a sudden become dishonorable?
Yes, it's very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, so I began to get, I had already known Dr. Davidson, and she deals with behavior issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually asked her to come on board with it to comment about certain things involving rogue cops and many other subjects that's in the book she comments on.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us being a former native New Orleanians, and you know, we brought some. We both had a interest about New Orleans cops, because in the city of New Orleans, particularly, it's an epidemic. It's beginning to get better, but back in the 70s, it was an epidemic as far as police officers getting arrested.
It sounds like it. I remember that from our interview last year. I'm happy to hear that it's getting better. It would be nice to hear from you that it's not a factor at all anymore, but I know that that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, that's wishful thinking. The only reason why it's getting better is because the federal government has gotten involved. The federal government is actually overseeing a lot of the internal affairs of the police department there. They got an anti-corruption squad there. As a matter of fact, the situation had gotten so bad that in most police departments, there are internal affairs divisions.
Right.
And the situation had gotten so bad there that people didn't even have any confidence in that division, so much so that they changed the name of it to something dealing with public integrity squad. They had to really turn. I mean, it was real bad. And New Orleans is the police officers there. You know, there are some good ones. There have always been some good cops. And
of course.
And I want your listeners right now to understand, or our listeners to understand, that Legal Minds is not about good cops. Legal Minds is about bad cops.
Mm-hmm.
Legal Minds does not put down in any way the honorable job that most cops perform.
Mm-hmm.
Legal Minds deal with that rare bad apple.
Yes.
Because when a police officer slaps your kid around or rapes our wives and our daughters, then at that particular time, we're no longer concerned about good cops. We're only concerned about that one bad cop at that time.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And so I want to make that very clear before we even begin this session, that Legal Minds is a book about bad cops, how to defend yourself against bad cops, and so forth.
Great.
And like I said, maybe say a little few words there. I brought Dr. Davidson on to examine the behavioral issues of those particular kind of cops. And one more thing I want to say before she comes in.
Sure.
The situation was so bad in New Orleans that we had a woman cop that was became our first serial slash spree killer.
Really?
Yes, her name was Antoinette Franks. She was a young lady police officer, and she actually killed three or four people in a restaurant along with a fellow cop she worked with.
Really?
That was performing the security detail there.
What year was that?
That was around 84, 85?
I believe so.
I want to say around 84, 85 because, I think it was around, I'm sorry, it was around 95, 94 or 95.
Mm.
And she's presently sitting here in Louisiana on death row. She's one of the only people sitting, or females, on Louisiana's death row. So that's how bad the situation has gotten.
Wow, that's critical. Critical. Yeah.
It was real bad, but Dr. Davidson, she understands the behavioral aspects of it. That's what I cannot speak on. I can tell you about a rogue cop, and you know how he can violate you, and I can give tips on your defense. But
sure.
You know, many people are interested in why would this guy think this way? Why would he do this? You know.
Well, let's talk to Dr. Davidson here. I'd like to actually, before we get into that, find out what your thoughts were when you first heard about Robert Davis's story, because it is quite a story.
Yes, it sure is. And, of course, I looked at the courage that it took for such an individual to overcome the lifestyle that he led, you know, so many years ago. And I thought it was so important for the community to, you know, hear about the transformation and the repentance of an individual who had done such vile acts to human beings. And when I was offered the collaboration with Mr. Davis on Legal Minds, I had no qualms about it, and immediately, you know, did all I could to, you know, place input into this book, which I believe is certainly a community-based effort, you know, with the, you know, for the public, in that it will be so helpful to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I look at, say, for example, a rogue police officer, You know, I have to consider anger issues or power and control, the need for one to dominate, which might be a motivation, you know, for individuals. There are so many different reasons people can turn bad or rogue.
Mm-hmm.
And these are just a few of the issues that one might have as a law enforcement officer because of the power of the badge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people even get involved into, you know, joining an academy because of that need to control others.
Yes.
And then it gets to the point where that control is exacerbated and the power overcomes one and, you know, possibly leading to this type of, you know, brutality and things that we've seen over the years,
mm-hmm.
you know, not only in New Orleans, but all over the United States.
So in the professional community, is there a psychological profile of a rogue cop?
I would certainly say there probably is somewhere. Now, what that would be, I'm not a criminologist, but, you know, looking at it from a counseling perspective, you know, we can consider the things that I mentioned with the control and authority and some of these other things that can come about as a result of, you know, the need for, or, you know, one to get into a profession such as law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe there is probably something out there. I just have not done research myself on
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
area.
It makes me wonder about a connection between one's upbringing and environment to
yes.
to be able to potentially predict a rogue cop. And I know that Robert kind of alluded to this in our interview last year, and he probably has, you know, some opinions on that. But just as a professional, I was wondering from you if there was that kind of a connection.
Go ahead, Doc.
I believe Mr. Davis had some statistics from an individual that he was working with that is a criminologist that
mm.
might be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was about to allude to. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this particular person because
please do.
I'm collaborating with Dr. Davis in the book and many other areas of dealing with behavior issues. However, I had to bring on board Juanita, someone that dealt with the criminologist part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I personally consult with a very good lawyer. He's an attorney and a criminologist. His name is Philip Matthew Stinson, and he's a fellow at Indiana University in Indiana, Pennsylvania. And he's, I wish you could see his resume. It reads more like a pamphlet.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Eight pages long is what when I originally received, after speaking with him,
mm.
at his resume. And he has actually gotten into this rare subject and had presented a paper called Criminality of Police Officers,
mm-hmm.
Which he had submitted November the 1st, 2006, to the American Society of Criminology in L.A., in California there. And the paper he had wrote is an examination, and this may be shocking to you, that in an 18-month period, you had almost 700 police officers arrested in the United States.
Wow, that's shocking, but you know, it's not unbelievable to me.
You're right.
You know?
You're right. Well, we had, maybe this may be shocking, and a six-year period from 1990 to 1996, in the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Force, we had 200 officers arrested just in 6 years.
Wow.
It's an epidemic is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I talked to Mr. Stinson about this, I asked him his gut feeling on this problem. He said it's worse than most people realize.
Mm-hmm.
He has written a paper on it showing it was almost 700 police officers arrested an 18-month period, and he actually has stats and data and technical information as to, you know, when these people are more like. And I want to bring this up. Most of your most dangerous times, and now we're going into the aspect of rogue cops and detections. Most of your most dangerous cops are the ones with coming out of the academy up to 5 years on.
Mm-hmm. The younger cops.
The younger cops.
Mm-hmm.
The mean seems to be around two and a half years, which is just about the mean time that I committed my crimes.
Is that right? Why is that at that point?
I have examined it and talked to Mr. Stinson about it. I believe what it happens is that when a cop, and I want you to realize this, when I first came out of the police academy, and this happens to many cops, there is a strong sense of honor and duty. But let me tell you something. As soon as I got on the streets with my senior partner, he instantly told me that everything I learned in the police academy, forget it.
Oh, gosh.
Just forget it.
Mm-hmm.
The police academy deals with ideal situations,
mm-hmm.
is what they would tell you. And he's dealing with the reality of it.
Yeah.
And in essence, it's a, as Doc alluded to, you have a power issue, usually most cops. I'm not saying all of them, but there are some cops that have a power issue in the beginning. They become cops, and then when they come out of the academy, they hook up with a senior partner, and the senior partner tells them, hey, listen, you know, you're going to have to be rugged, you're going to have to be strict, you're going to have to be stern. And so what happens is that initially when they get out on the force, they're trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that they get into this zone where they no longer abide by the rules, the in-laws, the rules that are set up by the department. They become a law in their own right.
Unto their own right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
one of the signs that I listed in as a road cop, and I don't mind giving this out to the so many signs, is when you start seeing a cop, cop stops you, and you start hearing him say things like, my street, my road, my town.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a cop, and these are solid, some of these things, I mean, you don't even have to be engaged with a cop on, you can just observe it. When you see a cop, and I talk about this a lot of times on television, when you see a cop making a U-turn to go to McDonald's,
yeah.
in the middle of the street,
yeah.
or to run a red light just to go to Burger King, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, above the law.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You take a little liberty like that, Juanita, there is a tendency to take a much larger liberty later.
That's a very good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'm actually trying to start a movement here in the city where I live at with the chief to have a mechanism where people, citizens, can report every time they see a cop doing this.
Citizen watch. That's great.
Well, he has to follow the law. Just a police officer, and I make this known to many people, a police officer is not the law.
Mm-hmm.
He is hired to enforce the law,
mm-hmm.
meaning that he still has to abide by the law himself. And just because he's in a police vehicle, a marked police vehicle, or unmarked, and in a uniform, it doesn't give him any more right than you and I.
Right.
And it has something to do with public trust. In
mm-hmm.
other words, when I see you, you know, you can turn, you know, and run a red light just to go to a restaurant, and if I had done the same thing, you would be citing me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just something inherently wrong about that.
No.
And I want to say this, too, because, you know, I have, and this doesn't bother me at all, but I make mention of this only to loop it back to Dr. Davidson there. So in the past year since I've been going my site, my website, and I write articles about police crime and the arrest of cops and ways to avoid road cops, I've been threatened many, many, many times.
I wanted to ask you that, Robert.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, through the grapevine, I have been threatened many, many times. They won't email me directly because they know that I can trace them by that. They won't call me directly, but, you know, through two and three people, you know, we like to catch you out late at night, blah, blah, blah. You know,
right.
It doesn't bother me because, believe me, Juanita, when I went on this thing, I thought about it long and hard, and I actually had sat on this for a while. And I remember seeing a Nike commercial that just said, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I just went full steam ahead. And I'm not worrying about threats or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I brought that up is because when I asked Dr. Davidson to come on with me, you see, I'm also inviting her to potential harm. Because
well,
then someone, you see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
And that's why I'm taking the time now to thank her now. For coming on board because, you know, she had to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she has her own life, her own family, you know, her own career.
Absolutely.
To worry about. And it's not like she can hide. I mean, everybody, it's public knowledge that she, you know, that,
mm-hmm.
Where
mm-hmm.
she teaches at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I want to also say this, that we take precautions, and I have to discuss from a shallow standpoint with the FBI if, you know, if this thing gets any worse or anything like that, you know, I pretty much know I'm handling myself. But it's amazing to me that I know that whenever I got a cop that has a problem with me, then I know he's a bad cop.
Bad cop. That's an excellent point.
Because a good cop could not possibly have a problem with what I'm saying.
Yes,
Yeah.
You know, it would just be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that I'm doing something that's good for the public. It's my way, and I want this. I want to say this right quick. My book Cop Out. I don't profit from that. That goes to various charities,
mm-hmm.
Child abuse and women abuse centers, and I don't profit off of that at all. So I want someone to think that some type of way I'm benefiting from something that happened bad 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it's just my way of paying back to community, you know, something that I've done. It's my way of getting my honor back again.
Okay.
Let me just turn it over to Dr. Davidson for a moment so we can address this whole issue about, you know, your safety. Is that something that you had to consider before getting on to this project with Robert?
I thought about it briefly, Juanita,
mm-hmm.
in that, you know, hearing about some of the threats he had received. You know, there's always that possibility, but I can't live my life by fearing man because I know that I'm covered by my Heavenly Father.
Mm.
So I don't really, you know, take that into consideration overall. You know, I know what, you know, particular places I don't even frequent anyway where there would be that possibility of attack from someone. So, you know, all is well.
Mm-hmm.
And as Mr. Davis has said, I believe the good that is going to come as a result of persons who read this book
mm-hmm.
will, you know, completely overwhelm, you know, anything that has to do with, you know, my fear or safety or anything like that. It just outweighs that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, it was, you know, something that I knew had to be done for the public, for the community, for society's benefit. And so, you know, as Mr. Davis has mentioned, it's not even an issue for me.
Wonderful. Great.
I'm glad that she's, you know, she feels that way about it because she definitely contributes to the book. And
mm-hmm.
I want your listeners to understand that. And the book deals with more than just rogue cops. But
mm-hmm.
I even have detectives furious with me.
Well, this information needs to get out there. So you guys really are doing a service.
Yeah, I do. I give a lot of tips on police detectives interviewing you, the difference between interviewing and interrogations, which are, like, vastly different. And basically, what I say in the book is no more than what's contained in your Miranda rights.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about Miranda rights because, you know, we all know that term, but what are Miranda rights exactly?
Well, your Miranda rights is your right to remain silent and not incriminate yourself if you are being charged with a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hardly look at police crime shows anymore.
Mm.
You know, I become so furious when I see someone could get stopped for a traffic ticket and wind up in 10 minutes being charged with murder. what I mean by that.
Not reality, is it?
Yeah, well, what I mean by that is that any attorney, you know, we like to put down attorneys, but let me tell you something. They have a very good need in this society. Any attorney will tell you anytime you are interrogated or investigated or arrested by the police, shut your mouth up.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. Exercise, that's what the Miranda rights are in a nutshell. If you are of any kind of way, unless you are witness to a crime, where that's obviously an interview session, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
If you are being interrogated and asked questions and so forth, and you have any doubt as to the fact of what you're dealing with, just say, listen, I want to shut up and I want to see my attorney. That's your right.
Mm-hmm.
That is your right. Now, a cop will come back with a trick question and say, well, if you didn't do anything wrong, why you don't tell?
Mm-hmm.
Why you don't want to talk to? Well, that's none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's for him to prove you are guilty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You cannot prove your innocence in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, you should be quiet.
There's a lot of manipulation that goes on at that point.
A lot of I'm telling you, I cannot look at cop shows anymore because I'm sitting up here saying, shut up, shut up. You know, and the guy is steady going on and on and on and on and on, and next thing you know, he's arrested for murder. And this is like lie detector tests. I deal with lie detector tests in the book. I mean, you should never, ever take a lie detector test.
Mm.
First of all, no court in the land will accept it,
mm-hmm.
good or bad. And if you ask the police department, why do they give them, they say, well, it's a tool. But what they fail to mention, Juanita, is that if you fail that test, you have now included yourself into that investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is many people are nervous because it's supposed to measure signs of breathing, pulse rate, and so forth. Many people are nervous even when they're telling the truth about something.
Yeah.
So why even put yourself in that situation? And I would really encourage many of you, of the listeners out there. This book is only like what, $13, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
This book is like $13 and
$13.95.
And I'm telling you, you know, if you read this book, it could actually save your life.
Well worth the cover price, definitely.
Well worth the cover price.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well worth the cover price. And a ticket alone these days will cost you $100. I get tips on traffic violations and many other tips in there from a police perspective on the inner workings of police department. But I would tell all my listeners out there, exercise your Miranda rights. Seek out, and I want to say this before we end this session. I'm sure Doc would want me to say this too, is that Legal Minds is not and doesn't pretend to be an authoritative guide on law enforcement. It's not a replacement for your attorney.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
This is simply an ex-cop, an educator, professor, giving you tips on what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be used as a tool to get you through a process until you can get to your attorney.
Attorney, okay.
Let me follow what I'm saying?
Yes, definitely.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Established in 1998, Rebecca's Reads is a book review and publicity service serving a large reading audience as well as a wide community of authors, publishers, publicists, and buyers and sellers. They offer reviews of recently published books as well as chapter readings, teasers, and videos to help you decide what book you would like to read next. Their insightful author interviews take connecting reader and author one step further, and if you decide you would like to purchase a book, an easy-to-navigate link will allow you to purchase the book immediately online. For the authors, publicists, and publishers, Rebecca's Reads has a variety of publicity services to help them market their books to their reading audience. Their services are budget-friendly and effective. For buyers and sellers, they have a monthly list of current reviews in the Book Review Index for easy browsing, as they know your time is precious and efficiency is a priority. Be sure to visit RebeccasReads.com and browse around their new space. Whatever your literary need, this user-friendly website may be just what you're looking for. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm speaking today with Robert Davis and Dr. Roxanne Davidson, authors of Legal Minds, Detecting Rogue Police Officers and Other Important Law Enforcement Issues. You can find out more about this book through the website www.authorsden.com/copout. Let me ask you, Robert, is there a typical criminal activity that a rogue cop will get involved in, or how do you address that in this book?
Well, the from a standpoint of, I'll say it this way, your cops, rogue cops, are the board on all crimes, all the way from raping little boys to killing to murder.
Mm-hmm.
So a rogue cop is not going to stand out in the sense of, you know, you're going to be able to say, okay, this guy is definitely one he's not by looking at him. You can't tell by that.
Mm-hmm.
It's through their behavior, through opening their mouths, through their talking and speaking to you that you're going to have to assess this thing,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to do it real quick. As I gave some tips out about how cops, for instance, you get stopped for a traffic violation, and as you're writing the ticket, he begins to tell you how this is going to probably be an extremely ticket, how it's going to raise your insurance rate. You follow what I'm
mm-hmm,
saying?
Mm-hmm,
that's a prelude to a robbery. He wants you to, you see what
pay
I'm saying?
Pay him off.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
to pay him off. A lot of times they'll stop you and want to search your vehicle and refuse to let you observe the search.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times that's when they want to plant something on you,
mm-hmm.
which is another thing I want to tell you, listeners. Never, ever give a police officer your permission to search your vehicle.
Oh, really?
Never, ever do that. Because here's the reason why. First of all, he can only search your vehicle if he has probable cause.
Mm-hmm.
Because your vehicle is actually an extension of your home.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If he suspects that you have drugs and he asks to search your vehicle, and if you say no, the only thing he can do at that point is get a narcotics dog out there, a narcotics team out there, and if they get a hit, then they have probable cause to search the vehicle. But if they don't get a hit, they have to let you go on your way.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why I say never ever do that. Not only it upsets me in the sense that it's your right to say no, but anything found in your vehicle that's illegal, that doesn't pertain to drugs, you can be caught, you can be charged with.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. you just politely say, no, I don't want you to search my vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get involved with the little trick questions such as, well, if you don't have nothing, what you got to hide?
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't fall for this kind of stuff.
So don't be intimidated.
Don't be intimidated. Mm-hmm. Exercise your rights. Another thing a rogue cop would do is try to remove you to a remote or dark location, especially females.
Mm. Yeah, that's a red flag right there.
Yeah, that's a red flag. And I'm telling you something that I advise a lot of my people to do. Meaning my supporters. You're a female and you stop. You're out there at 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and a police officer, especially an unmarked unit, pulls you over. Don't even stop. Go straight to the nearest public facility, either police station, either one of these little convenience stores, all-night supermarket, and even if you're dealing with a bad cop, I mean, the most he could do is give you a citation for refusing to stop, but at least you won't stop in the middle of no man's land and possibly get raped.
I think we've all heard those stories about women. At least being a woman, I've heard of those stories for sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible out here. It's a shame that, you know, it used to be a time that you can tell your kids to always run and go to a police officer for help.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really do that now. You need to teach your kids. This is what I would do. Mine. I mean, I got children. I'm a grandfather. Don't trust anybody.
Mm.
Trust your parents.
Mm.
Trust your parents. We live in that kind of world, Juanita. It's a shame to have to say that,
mm-hmm.
but we live in that kind of world. And, I watch myself. I be very careful as I possibly can. I tell my grandbabies, you know, be careful out there. And I got a stake in this now with grandchildren, you know?
Yeah.
I got a personal stake in this, and I don't want some cop of stopping my kids or my grandkids and doing that. As I said before, I want to make this very well. I think I said this 3 or 4 times. And obviously it's something that I'm very jittery of because I don't want people to think that we're talking about cops in general.
General, sure. I don't think people.
Right, and I just want to make that very well. You know, we are talking about someone that's been, you know, arrested and convicted, you know, a cop that's been arrested and convicted for doing something to someone. And that is the particular cop what we're talking about here.
So, Robert, let me ask you about percentages here, because I'd like to know if you have any statistics on the percentages of crime involved with rogue cops that are actually going unreported and why people are actually not reporting them.
Well, for one thing, and this is something else that I'm upset about, I've been calling for civilian review boards instead of internal affairs division.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why, Juanita. First of all, internal affairs officers are not some special group taught in an academy separately from the regular officers. They are selected from the patrolmen on the street. Now, if you and I have worked together for 10 years and I suddenly go to internal affairs, then I get a complaint from Dr. Davidson that you did something, but it comes on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think I'm going to give you a break?
Mm-hmm.
You know, internal affairs division need not to be people that have already worked with patrolmen on the street.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
It doesn't make sense. And it shouldn't even be cops investigating cops because something is wrong with that picture anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a civilian review board and they should investigate it. Now, going back to your questions, here's why. There's an automatic, and this happens today, and could happen to you today or me today. There's an automatic assumption when you go into court of law, even with something as minute as a traffic ticket, all the way up to a charge of murder, there's an automatic assumption that the cop is right and you are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Automatic assumption. I don't know if you remember, and this guy just happened to be named the very exact same name that I have, Robert Davis. Is a guy that was in the French Quarter of New Orleans, was beaten by some New Orleans Police Department cops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember it, but it was on the national news. He was going out to buy a pack of cigarettes and wound up getting beat. I mean, he just get beat to death.
I'm not familiar with that case, but, I in the city that I live in, there's stories very similar to that as well. So,
well, here's my point.
Mm-hmm.
My my point, and I'll make a long story short, is that there are, my estimation, being an ex-cop, writing books, doing research, my estimation is about, it's as high as probably 3 or 4 out of 10 officers that are rogue cops.
Really?
Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. I mean, actual rogue cops that get caught, maybe three or four out of ten.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I think it's higher in that there's a degree of them that they never gotten caught yet.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't gotten caught.
Mm-hmm.
I also, that's why I said that I think that all police complaints should be investigated by civilian review boards. I think that there should have cameras on all police vehicles with audio capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really do believe this. You know, I mean, but you know, there's a tendency that if he knows this is on camera and on tape, you know, it forces him to do the right thing.
So it's a mandatory taping, and it's not just
will
taping.
Yeah, you know, it should be done. But my estimate is about three or four out of every 10 cops that are bad cops, and there's a great percentage that never get caught, and even the ones that get caught, Juanita, a lot of times they resign off the force. And you never hear anything about it,
mm-hmm.
We live in a dangerous time now. I mean, and all I can say is that if you purchase Legal Minds, you'll see that I speak about so many things about probation, paroles, fugitives, extraditions, clemencies, Miranda rights, traffic issues. We deal with deals with the domestic violence in here, so that's another good subject. You know, it's a
mm-hmm.
whole book in itself.
Let me ask you about the victims here. And is there a profile? And I'd like to get Dr. Davidson's opinion on this as well. Is there a typical victim in a majority of these cases? You know, is there a profile that these rogue cops, because they are criminals, they do have a criminal mind. You know, is there a victim that they're looking for?
Well, I'm going to let Doc comment on from her standpoint, but the only thing I can say about it is that they tend, and this is from a ex-cop perspective,
mm-hmm.
When a cop stops a lawyer or another police officer,
mm-hmm.
he deals with them totally different than he deals with a common citizen.
Okay.
So my thing is that if you seem that you don't know much about the law, then you may be setting yourself up
mm-hmm.
to be victimized.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to arm yourself with the law now. Before you are stopped.
Mm, good point.
And in that way, you would exude the confidence to him, you know, to let him know that you're not the one.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree with that, Robert, in that, you know, if a rogue police officer sees one who gives the appearance of weakness, then it's easier to take advantage of that person, you know, that does not exude self-confidence or, you know, some other measure of integrity about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely how you appear. I think that's the. I can't wait to look at Mr. Stinson's. He's a fellow over at Indiana University, and his dissertation is going to be completed in about 18 months. And I can't wait to see his final assessment of this because he's going to have stats and everything and things that you alluded on about most likely the victims. And I'm almost willing to bet you that it's going to come down to the ones that don't exude confidence,
yeah.
The ones that appear weak, because that's how it is from a natural standpoint, even in the animal world. I mean, the weak, you know, is the one that's attacked.
Yes.
And I think statistics that I've examined shows that more females are victimized by bad cops than are males.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and that's because I guess the female seems as if she's the weaker, which that don't apply all cases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sexist. Okay, you know.
If it's true.
I'm just saying, because
mm-hmm.
they got some females I've met, they rough. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, right.
But, matter of fact, speaking of what now, Dr. Davidson, she can handle herself pretty well.
Can't she?
There are some people, there are some females that are so naive.
Yeah.
And they're the perfect kind of victim for a cop.
Yeah, you know, that it's interesting because I took at one point in my life a self-defense course, and that was
okay.
One thing that was brought to the forefront right off the bat was the fact that, you know, a criminal will assess who they're looking at, and it within like 3 seconds know if that person is, you know, good prey for them.
Yeah.
And so I found that so interesting. And they said just by having a confidence, if you know that you can protect yourself, that will be portrayed in that 3 seconds.
Oh, sure, real quick. I mean, you know, I mean, there's no doubt about that.
I mean,
you know, and I think personally, I think that a woman or female that exudes that confidence, I mean, I think that it comes across even stronger than when a male does. Because it's expected from a male.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's not expected from a female.
Right.
And I think it's the same reasons why some guys, some males have issues probably with women and females that tend to be more self-assuring, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They refer to them as being dominant, where I look at it as just being self. They know where they're going and know where they're headed.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
and they just have that exude that kind of confidence, and you need to do the same thing with a police officer. I mean, respect them now. Don't get me wrong. You know, and I think one of the mistakes that we make or the citizen might make is not to respect them. In other words, you know, refer to him as sir. You know, yes sir, no sir. You know, go ahead on and give him his few minutes of power.
Mm-hmm.
But if it helps you get away from that situation or get out of a citation, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, what difference does it make to, you know, let him stroke a few minutes or a few seconds of his power? You know, just get out of the ticket, get out of the situation.
The situation,
and
yeah.
arrive home safe to your
yeah,
family.
Yeah, yeah. What do you say to the fact that so many people have kind of lost trust and faith in the police force because of so many issues of corruption coming up? And, you know, really, from my observation and from talking to other people as well, it seems like the police force has really changed to almost kind of like a strong, more looking like a military type of, I mean, it really has changed. And that right there, the appearance really kind of creates fear in people. So what do you think? Yeah, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's changed because, Juanita, what you've seen is that you've seen something that has gone more political than
mm-hmm.
anything.
Mm.
Police departments now are very political. First of all, and that's something else I've been preaching, mayors of all cities usually have the luxury of appointing their police chief. I think that's an error. I think a police chief should be elected.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's appointed, he has to deal with the political realizations of the mayor. There's a potential serial killer on the loose or something like that. That shakes the mayor's up because his phone is ringing all night.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to shake. He's going to get the police chief up, the police chiefs and his deputies. They got to shake the department up and see who's not doing this. It's too political now. It shouldn't even be that way. The police department should not have anything to do with the political arm of a city. I really do strongly believe that police chiefs should be elected officials and answerable to the public,
mm-hmm.
answerable to city council, not the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, it's become more militant. But let me tell you something else, too, and this has been a good positive thing. The advent of electronics is really busting a lot of these cops.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got these cell phones with
mm-hmm.
cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You got people with camcorders. If you notice, most of the rogue cops that get busted is because there's a tape of the incident.
Someone's got a recorder, yep.
Either visual or an audio. And that is so, so good. I love that because, and this is why I say that when you get stopped, in the book I speak about this, when you get stopped by a cop, try your best to make that stop in a public venue. In a place where there are cameras, almost all convenience stores have them. As a matter of fact, there's so many cameras out now that you could stop in the middle of the street and police are able to access a camera 2 blocks away that just happened to be panning that location.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see it a lot in these shopping centers, malls where these women are being abducted and so forth. There'd be another camera that's in a totally different business. That would take a photo of it.
Gotcha,
what I'm
yeah.
saying is try to always try to deal with cops or anybody for us that concern in public venues where it can be seen. And if you're being, and I'm telling you, I say this in my book, I say this to Dr. Davis, and I'm telling you, you being violated by a cop, make noise, scream, do what you got to do.
Mm.
You know, because most bad cops, if they are attempting to rape you or do you some harm, they're not going to really want you to be alive after the fact.
Well, that's a good point. That's scary.
You got to remember, bad cops are paying their mortgages,
yeah,
paying their rent, they're paying their car notes, sending their kids to college based upon their actions. And they're not going to they're not going to stop and think. I mean, they're going to just say, you know, I need to probably kill this person.
Now, why don't we see more good cops reporting this type of bad cop activity?
I have, in a year of research I've been doing this, I only seen it in one case. And it was a particular case that happened in Chicago, and it was only because the cop had beat a guy in a cell so bad that
Blog Talk Radio.